Welcome back to Cargumentative. I'm your host, as usual, Thomas Faulkner from the Sunday Times. And as usual, I'm joined in studio, that's right, a real studio, not a virtual studio, by the one and only...
Brenwyn Naidu, also from Sunday Times and Sowetan Motoring, and just the general fixture in the Arena Holdings building.
And of course I am Putin Biani, the one and only petrosexual.
Oh, the petrosexual's back. With that smooth, rich voice. The Isaac Hayes of the South African motoring scene.
Thomas, are you well?
Oh, I'm okay, you know. I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. Are you guys well?
Yeah. So you shouldn't be well, though.
Why not?
Well, I'll get into it as we unfold.
As we go along.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we should point out that our host, Thomas Faulkner, is wearing shorts while recording this.
Yes. Shorts.
He is under the influence of shorts.
I am. I just do like shorts. I just find pants, long pants, not just PT, you know? Because you've got to wear socks and then you've got to wear shoes. Shorts, yeah. You can just like go around the house in slippers or slots, which
they
is
might
quite
be,
nice.
They might be PT, but they're also PPE. Just keep that in mind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you know, let's hope there's no conspiracy theory about COVID-19 being able to enter through your knees.
Then I'm screwed. But you know, guys, I secretly just do it for Paige because I know that she likes to admire my sexy sculpted legs from her producing hatch over there. So Paige, it's just for you, honey. All right, gents, enough tomfoolery. Let's move on to the news. And Brenwyn, what's been happening?
Okay, well, you know, South Africa is crazy about pickups. Everybody loves a good bucky.
They do.
They do. And Mitsubishi announced the release of its Triton Extreme on Friday. It's a limited edition version of its rather underrated double cab. And having sampled the current Triton on two occasions previously, I can say with confidence that it is a product worth recommending. So what do you get in the Extreme? Well, for starters, it is based on the flagship 4x4 automatic derivative, and Mitsubishi claims that the optional kit they added comes to 100,000 Rand, but they are only asking a 40,000 Rand premium over what you would pay for the regular model. So, a 60 grand discount.
That sounds ridiculous to me. I mean, economically, that just sounds impossible.
Well, this is why I say sort of.
Yeah. You know,
there's obviously some actuarial element in there. Nothing's for free in this life.
Or maybe they're just being more charitable than usual.
No, but, not when it comes to business.
But let me go on. It comes with black A-line wheels, Pirelli Scorpion all-terrain tires, model-specific branding, people love that, a blacked-out bumper and grille, headlight covers, window visors, door handle cups, a style bar, and a fender flare kit. You also get a tailgate with hydraulic drop supports, a rubberized load bed with a cover and a tow bar. So it basically fell through the Autostyle catalog.
Yeah.
It costs 639,995 rand and 95 cents.
And in a nutshell, it's say your prayers, Ford Ranger Raptor.
Well, not quite. I mean, I think the Ranger Raptor has a far more sophisticated suspension.
Yeah.
We've all driven the Raptor in this room. I think we can, you know, we can say that suspension works, you know.
It does. It's a more polished everyday product. I think if you're out, you know, I think if you're in Boksburg, you want to go for the Ranger. But if you stay out near Volcom, you know, which is a bit more rural, but still kind of on the ZEV side of life, then maybe the Isuzu is the one for you, especially because there's a style bar. I mean, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, how to up your style.
Get a style bar.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
It's brilliant.
While we're still on buckies, if you are from anywhere and you want a bucky for about 350, 360K, have you guys seen the new JAC T8?
What is that?
My
a jack.
Goodness.
Jack.
A jack of all trades.
It is a jack of buckies, I tell you. Yeah. It is one gorgeous looking Chinese bucky. It's the most gorgeous bucky I've seen.
It does look good, I must say.
Okay.
I have seen a picture of it.
Yeah.
I've yet to drive it, though.
We have it downstairs. I drove it today.
Mm-hmm.
And It is absolutely surprising and stunning. It's got a VW engine, which makes me wonder, is this what? Amarok Light?
Really? It's got a VW engine?
Yes, it uses the old Polo TDI. I don't know if you remember the Polo TDI two-door.
The
1.9. Yeah, the 1.9. It uses that engine. So that means it's got pretty decent torque to carry whatever you want, you know. And my word, it is such a refined bucky from a Chinese brand. I've never experienced anything like that.
I haven't experienced such enthusiasm from you in weeks. It's like you've met, you know, the dream girl.
Tommy,
it's unbelievable.
I really root for the little guy.
Okay.
And I like to see a giant fall.
Yeah, you do, huh? Okay. Fair enough.
Tell you what, I'd like to see what a Jack looks like in 5 years after 150,000 Ks.
Yeah, it's okay. It's called instant gratification, you know.
Probably knackered. But the good thing about it is that you could probably go to the Gold Wagon and you can go and buy spare parts for it because it's a Polo Source engine. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I like that.
Ah, well.
True. Well, I mean, I'm not going to knock it. I really would like to have a go in the Jack, the JAC.
Yeah. Do that. Get our colleague Sean to search out. He's got the car. Okay. He's very charitable.
He is
Mitsubishi.
Charitable.
Yeah.
He's giving out the key. You know, anybody who wants to taste it.
Okay. Well, there we go. I might also give that Jack a quick try.
Fantastic.
Is
it time for my news?
It is. I thought that was your news.
No ways.
Okay.
Not by a long shot.
Back to you then.
Yeah. This is where I bring you in, Tommy. I'd like to say, on behalf of all the petrosexuals in the world, we do say... how do you say we're sorry? Because somebody has passed on.
Condolences.
Condolences to
me.
You. Yes, to you.
What's happened?
Because this week was the announcement of the death of Hans Mesger.
Yes.
90-year-old legendary Porsche engineer.
Yeah.
I mean, your car probably has his... signature.
It does. I mean, Hans Mesger was instrumental in creating many of the complicated, expensive to run Porsche engines that we all love. But he is. I mean, he was a legend. He was in the motorsport programs. The GT3 also had his touch on it.
Yeah, he also created a Formula One engine. Which McLaren used to win the title with.
They did, but it was under the name of Tag.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a legend, because
he was a legend.
I was reading about him, and when Porsche decided to sort of cut down on their motorsports exploits, instead of retiring Herr Mesger, they sort of sent him into the offices to now develop more mainstream stuff, and starting with that 930
turbo.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just again, just to hear, to sort of learn about him more, is that he is instrumental in how Porsche's sound, especially the flat six, how that sounds, that other gruff boxer, because when he came onto the scene with that old classic, what's that funny looking Porsche that you all have?
Which
from,
one?
From back in the day, 936, 396, what?
The 356.
That.
The one that looks like a Beetle.
That one, that weird one.
Love
it. Well, they all kind of do,
Yes, apparently when he came onto the scene, that was using I think it was a liquid cooled engine.
Well, as far as I know, it was always just it's an adaptation of a Volkswagen Beetle engine, which he then... strengthened internally.
No, they used a wet sump, and then he introduced the dry sump.
The dry sump.
Yes, which obviously has lingered on for decades. So rest in peace, Hans Mesger. Yeah.
A sad loss.
A sad loss.
Sad loss to the motoring world.
But at 90 years old, he had to retire, man.
He did. He did. But what a legacy to leave behind.
Yeah. And just as we are still on it, we do know that we just had level 3 lockdown restrictions, is it? And where they could now allow people to enjoy their tipples and liquid poisons and all that.
Exactly, yeah. Racing fuel.
Yes, and we have seen the effects of that. So just quite today, as fresh as today, I got word that insurance companies are saying when the drunk driving protocols come in, seriously, people are going to sort of lose their cover if they are found to have been involved in an accident, and if you only just had probably one drink, you will lose your cover, and they will not pay.
That's it. You lose your car, you lose your cover, you lose your savings, you lose your life.
Imagine that.
So the moral of the story, guys, is don't even have one when you're out driving.
Just don't
have a nice non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's refreshing. It tastes very similar. And everyone will be happy on the way home.
Yeah, or just take an Uber, guys. If you want a good drink, just don't drive. It's really as simple as that. And I'm quite behind this move to, you know, totally eliminate drinking completely. I've always thought that this whole "I'll have one and I'll still be fine to drive" thing doesn't really sit well with you. You know, like how comfortable do you feel driving on SA roads on a Friday night, for example, knowing that someone could be driving back from a dinner, having had just one. But it's never just one, is it?
No.
It's
quite interesting. That's exactly what I noticed when we moved from level 4 to level 3, whereby when we were driving during level 5, because we had the permits to drive, I felt safer because there was next to no traffic at all on the roads. Now, as soon as everybody went back on the road, I found myself having a genuine fear of what other drivers could do. You know, I had a whole heaven unto myself.
Very true.
It is very true,
And now if you add alcohol,
it's a recipe for disaster.
It's a disaster. But maybe you won't see as many people on the roads as there have been now, because petrol's going up again in July. Bad news. Bad news.
Our salary is going up.
No, of course not.
No.
Salaries never go up, but the price of fuel is always going back up. Let me just read for you. I've got some press release info. Oil is continuing its march back towards its previous levels in the first half of June, setting the scene for further hefty fuel price increases going into July.
Oh, dear.
This is the view of the Automobile Association, in brackets AA, in its commentary on unaudited mid-month fuel price data released by the Central Energy Fund. So based on current figures, petrol is set to climb up by R1.59 a litre, diesel by R1.48, and illuminating paraffin by R1.94.
What?
Yeah.
That's quite steep.
It's pretty steep.
Yeah, I feel pretty sad now.
Gee.
Well, pretty sad now. Let's take a break, and you can hopefully get over your sadness, and Pooty can forget about the jack, and we can get on with the show. Guys, we'll be back with you shortly.
Join me, Nicole Engelbrecht, your host on True Crime South Africa, a weekly podcast that covers both solved and unsolved South African true crime cases.
Welcome back to Cargumentative. Pooty.
Yes, sir.
Is it June exam time?
Yes. Like every good student.
Yeah.
Smack in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
You're given a test to look back at what you've learned since the start of the year.
Yeah.
We have learned that COVID-19 is serious, serious, serious business.
It is. It also could be a conspiracy.
At 5G.
Seriously.
Yes. And of course, we thought, let's also do our own exams. You know, let's see what we have learned since the start of the year in terms of new cars launched here in the country and that we would buy using our own cash.
Okay.
The own cash, but like you didn't mention that in the criteria. If this were multiple choice, I'd have failed a long time ago.
Yes. And obviously, I'm the instigator of that. And I said, let's choose three cars. And yes, and I have to admit, my three cars are one car in different colors.
Nice. Well, it's important to have that, you know, because sometimes you're in a good mood, sometimes you're not, sometimes you're melancholic, and
it's
important to have that color matching.
We must have that option. Why should it be that if you want a car, if you want three cars, why must they always be different brands? Why can't you have the same car in different colors? That's three different cars.
Agreed.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Totally.
Yes, and for me, that car is that new Toyota Corolla sedan.
Yeah.
Okay. What a beauty.
It's a very good-looking car, that. The Corolla just gets better and better, aesthetically-wise, with every new generation. I mean, the previous one, we all kind of thought, this is improving, you know.
The Uber.
I mean, that was in 2013. We were all there because Toyota had every single media person in sub-Saharan Africa.
I remember that.
At a banquet hall in the Cape. We thought, yeah, this is pretty good. Pretty good. But the new one, that's a good-looking car.
That is a complete detour from the last Corolla.
Yeah.
You just wonder, does it come from the same company? I mean, I look at that car every day. I'm bombarded by advertising of this car on social media. And I all the time lose my breath. And now I've decided, okay, I want it in white.
Yeah.
For my sort of, you know, daily drive, you know, to come to the Arena office, to come and do the podcast.
Not your side hustle as an Uber driver.
Uberist.
No, I don't want people messing my beautiful Corolla sedan.
Well, that's why you get the Quest.
Which is why there's the Quest for such.
Okay, fine. All right.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Yes. So, yeah, the other one would be a blue, which would be perfect for a Thursday, I think. I think on a Thursday afternoon. Blue kind of looks very nice.
I like that blue, like that metallic blue.
Yeah.
Very moody.
Very nice blue, you know, just in the middle of the week, you know, you've just come back from the doldrums of work and about to introduce the happiness of the weekend.
Yeah.
I think a blue is a good color for that.
Yeah.
And then I also like it in that, is it orangish, reddish
kind of? Yeah, burnt orange.
Yeah. That has to obviously have some aftermarket rims on it, just, you know, for Saturday or Sunday, just to say, yeah, I'm a baller.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a baller, but I'm sensible.
A sensible balling.
Yeah.
Have you driven that car?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so you're just going on looks.
Well, I drove the hatch version, and that was awesome.
It was a good car.
I don't think that having a boot is going to ruin the recipe.
No, but I do think that Toyota missed a trick by not having that 1.2 turbo engine
offered
in the Corolla. They've only got those. They've got the 2-liter.
And the 1.8.
And the 1.8. The 2 liters from the RAV4.
The RAV4, correct.
Mm. Which I think if you pair it with the manual, because you can get a manual with a 2-liter.
Yeah, it's okay. In fact, I mean, this is the car that I was going to discuss on the drive section of this fantastic podcast.
Well, we can keep it for drive.
But yeah, okay. I mean, we'll have something to look forward to.
Yeah, we do, definitely.
Not to put a damper on Pooty's Corolla enthusiasm, but let me talk about my three cars.
Go for it.
Okay. And I mean, if this were June exams, it would be June exams at like a really elite private school.
Because
I've got some really premium wares on here that are perhaps a little irrelevant given the current climate. But, you know, I mean, these cars do sort of reset the bar in certain respects. So let's go with that.
I can't wait for this.
Yeah, all right.
So first of all, we've got, interestingly enough, they're all six-cylinder cars, okay?
All six-cylinder, okay. All now six-cylinder. You're touching me on the studio.
Yeah, figuratively.
Go on.
But anyway, first, we've got the Audi A7 55 TFSI, which I had last week, and the refinement of that thing is fantastic. Okay, now it uses that 2,995cc V6 that's quite familiar in the Volkswagen group, petrol V6, turbocharged, but this one's also got a 48-volt hybrid setup as well, operating in tandem with that. But it's just so plush and quiet, and there's just this fantastic groundswell of power. Ride quality is superb, even though the car I had 21-inch wheels. I mean, ridiculous. I mean, you can spec air suspension, of course, and it's got the adaptive ride control as well, optional, of course, but that makes a world of difference. And four-wheel steering. Man, the agility of this thing is fantastic. And parallel parking in the city, easy. Okay? Next car, BMW X3 M40D. Great engine.
That M40D.
The M40D. That inline six, fantastic. You guys have sampled it at some point.
Yes,
in whatever car.
I think we spoke about it. This is why I love having masks in studio, because I could truly just call in. You wouldn't know that I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you could be smiling or
smiling. You could be smiling, but yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic engine. And, like, you know, that car just sort of gives you this sense of invincibility, which is probably a little delusional, because if you were to have a flat in the middle of a Karoo, you've got run flats, so I mean, there's not much you can do. And that's why, when faced with the option of taking that or a Mercedes V-Class down to PE, I took the V-Class.
So this is the M40D.
M40D, yeah.
The one that I famously said, where's the M in that 40D? Yeah. Okay.
I think, you know, it's powerful. It's a new age M. It's a thinking man's M.
Okay.
Especially with the price of petrol going up, fam.
Go ahead. I thought you were going to touch me on the studio.
My last car. Yeah. My last car. It's the Mercedes AMG
GT53.
I mean, it is an E-Class underneath, even though they've stuck the GT moniker on. But plenty of presence, and I love that six-cylinder engine. It makes the burly and thirsty 63 seem a bit wasteful.
That's quite a dramatic car, that. We drove that in 63 AMG.
Yeah.
And just the ostentatious vibe around that car, you know, the noise, the shape. Would you want it in sensible 53, or you just want it in full-blown demon AMG?
No, I think like what you said with your Corolla thing, you know, you could be a baller and you could be sensible. Because you get the 53, you can spec it with that sort of matte black paint that your 63 had.
Yeah.
Very baller. You know, upspec the alloys, people won't notice the difference.
I don't know. If I had that kind of money to play in that game, I'd be embarrassed to buy the 53 because our people would be like, oh, you can't afford the 63.
Well, all you do is you take the badges off and then nobody will know.
Debadge it.
Debadge it.
Exactly. Stealth.
Stealth mode. Simple.
Incognito mode.
Problem solved. I'll be here all afternoon.
I don't think I'm with the same bumpers.
No one will know if you get it in matte black.
Wow.
Because it absorbs light.
They all look alike. They've all got that Pan Americana grill and, all right. You know.
Not bad. I mean, since I'm the teacher in this, I'll score you 70 and I'll send you to the corner for that funny BMW.
Sure.
We'll stand in the corner there.
In your dance hat.
70 is good. I mean, what is the national pass rate these?
Don't go there.
20?
Yeah. 30? So, I mean, I'm like, this distinctions and...
It is, yeah. Off to uni you go, my boy.
Get that BA in dramatic arts.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear Tommy's top three.
Jeez, my top three. I don't know what's happened to me, but I've lost my short-term memory. I mean, it's now June. And I can hardly remember anything that I've tested this year that stands out, which is either a reflection of how boring modern cars have become, or B, just how bad my short-term memory has become because of lockdown.
Or C.
Yeah.
You probably have COVID-19. Have you been tested?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Actually, I don't know why I'm laughing, because we are in the same studio as this guy right now.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it affects memory as well, doesn't it?
I think it affects everything. Sanity, memory. Anyway, but having said that, there are two cars which really have stood out for me already, and that is the new Suzuki Espresso.
Ah.
I thought that was a very cool budget car offering. Yes, it hasn't been crash tested, and when those results come out, it's probably not going to be good. But from a pure drivability point of view, I was very impressed with that vehicle. At the price, cheapest car in South Africa, it really does perform well for what it is. And it's like a disposable kind of appliance, you know. You buy one, even if you're not a first-time buyer, you can buy one, you know, if it gets... you know, hailed on or somebody opens a door on it, you're not going to lose sleep because it's basically just an appliance. It's like a disposable phone in a way. You know what I mean? It's not something you really...
I must admit, I didn't quite like it that much.
Yeah?
I think we spoke about it in a previous episode.
I think we did.
But as from this week, I started liking it.
Yeah.
Purely because Ford has just introduced the Figo Freestyle.
Yeah.
Which is simply just taking some stock from a rental company who's not working and prepping it up with SUV stuff and calling that a crossover.
Yeah.
I was just tired. Like, why do you do that? No. And Suzuki, now, you realize that they actually made the effort to build a proper little SUV rather than just,
something.
You know, just take a Swift, you know, raise the suspension, say, hey, there's a little crossover. So, just for that, yes.
But I think Suzuki is missing a trick, though, because they should take a Swift and do that. Because that Figo Freestyle, I mean, it's competing with the Renault Sendero Stepway, the Polo Vivo Max.
A cross up to a certain extent.
Yeah, cross up to a certain extent. And, I mean, there was one other car.
There was the Etios Cross.
The Etios Cross, there you go.
You see, I quite like those cars.
I do too.
I like them. They kind of give you a little bit of more, ground clearance, which is cool. Mm. I like the styling, especially on some cars when they get that cladding on the arches and down the rocker panels, etc. It makes them look cooler, especially with the up.
True.
Like the up is a great car, but in cross-up spec, it really makes our car pop. It just looks better.
Which is why you guys are the journalists and the consumers are the buyers. Look at the numbers and tell me how your Etios Cross is doing in terms of sales. How? People are more intelligent than that. They want an SUV. They know that, seriously, putting on some extra shoes from Tiger Wooden Tire does not turn you into an SUV.
No, I disagree. Because if you look at the Renault Sendero Stepway, they sell more Stepways than the regular Sendero.
But that's the thing. The Stepway does not pander to being a crossover.
It does. It plays in that very same category as the Etios Cross and the Vivo Max.
Undoes, but I still say it's a chicken move on Ford. Why can't they just develop a whole new small SUV?
Well, they've got the EcoSport.
Something smaller than that. The EcoSport is quite large.
Yeah.
So why take the short route?
Because everybody else is doing it.
And I think it's developed locally, isn't it?
I don't think so. They do sell. I'm pretty sure they sell the Freestyle in overseas markets.
Is it?
Could be.
I don't see it working. We'll come back here one day and compare numbers. I don't see people buying that.
Nah, I think people will buy that thing. People want that illusion of outdoorsiness and sort of ruggedness, you know. And
guess who's offering?
I totally get the appeal.
Guess who's offering them that? Suzuki Espresso.
Nah, but that's in a totally different class, man.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting debate that taking a normal hatchback and SUV, SUVing it. And I think in some cases it works, some cases it doesn't. And I think that the sales figures for the normal ones are higher because a lot of fleet companies would buy those vehicles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
So I think from a private point of view, you might be more inclined to buy the SUV aping version. So that's the Espresso. Paige is whirling her hands around. I don't know if she's trying to do the hustle or telling me to
She's like, that's the car I like, that's the car I like.
Exactly. So very quickly, another car that really impressed me this year, and it was a time where I really got to drive it, how it was intended to be driven, was that Toyota GR Supra, which I had at the Emerald Speed Festival.
Yes.
A very challenging high-speed time trial course, and that car was brilliant. It really is a cracking sports car. Drove it flat out in the dry, in the rain, and it's just, they got that car spot on. It's got great steering feel. It's very communicative, easy to drive. It's forgiving. It tells you all the things you want to know.
Mm.
Excellent.
I'm with you. I'll take it just for the looks. But I know Comrade 98 has an interesting story about that car. Would you care to share quickly?
The Supra.
With the Supra.
Refresh my memory again.
Let's go back to something about blowing up a tire and all that.
Well, actually, it wasn't me, but it was another colleague on the launch of the GR Supra, who unfortunately had a blowout.
At high speed.
I think it was in excess of 120 kilometers an hour.
Mm.
And then, interestingly enough, a colleague who was road testing the Z4
also
experienced a very similar thing where the tire just sort of like wormed its way.
Decided to take leave off the rim.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I mean, that aside, like I don't disagree with your sentiments about the Supra, Thomas. What a fantastic car. And actually, I think it makes its roofless counterpart just seem like a floppy, wet sock.
Yeah, I would take the Supra any day. I mean, and I think Toyota really got, I mean, Toyota gets a lot of flack for making a car that's essentially just a BMW.
Mm.
Okay. And you either hate that or you kind of accept that. I accept that because I like Toyota. I'm glad there's a Supra out there. I'm glad that they offer a halo product. And I think that Toyota have made that car and that platform better than BMW has made it. And the suspension in particular is really good because it's not that hard, crashy BMW-esque ride that you normally get in the performance cars.
Yeah.
It's a lot more, but it's still firm. It's firm enough to exploit the car, but
it seems interesting.
Yeah,
I think for me the big one was, so with the Supra, does that mean that we'll not see an Z4 coupe version as traditionally we'd get from the Z cars? You know, is that the new M coupe? Now they've sort of given the tender to Toyota to do the M coupe. I don't know.
It does seem like it though.
It's possible.
It's because actually I think the agreement says Toyota will do the hardtop and BMW will do the drop top.
Yeah.
So there goes your M Coupe. If you want an M Coupe, go to Toyota.
Yeah, get it. And I mean, second hand, you can get them up for like, 800,000 Rand. Like the people just, I don't know, it just seems like a car that's set to depreciate.
Yeah.
We'll see what they look like in 5 years from now, I think.
It'll still look super.
Good future buy, super. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Beautiful
Supra.
So there was that. There was the Supra. And I'm just trying to think of anything else that stands out. And I'm struggling here, huh?
Nothing, huh? That's because so many cars would have been launched, but obviously due to COVID-19, there's been a lot of holding back.
I mean, this year started off on such a fantastic note. You know, there was a lot in the pipeline.
Yeah, there was the Corolla.
There was the Hyundai i30N, which is really nice.
I'd like to drive that. I haven't driven that.
Really nice. Yeah. But I mean, at that price point, they're fighting a losing battle.
Nah.
It's sad.
It's okay. At least one good car came out before lockdown. That was a Corolla in blue, in white, in red. What other car did they come with? Love that car.
The Haval H2 facelift was launched earlier this year.
Yes.
Good looking thing, well equipped, reasonably priced. Just that engine lets it down, unfortunately.
I must say again, obviously with the J8, the JAC, quite interesting how that car, in fact, the quality, the build quality, I think is better than in the Haval, and that's a Bucky.
How does it smell?
It smells greasy. Absolutely Chinese.
Greasy. So it's gluey.
Gluey yes, and greasy.
Yes, it is.
That's just the one put off, and it seems to be quite prevalent among those Chinese manufactured cars, is that adhesive smell, you know?
Yeah.
But I've always thought manufacturers manufacture cars to the demand by the market. So perhaps it is the Chinese people who say, we want our cars to smell like that. Have you thought about that one?
We just like to get high while driving our cars.
It could be.
It could very well be, because if they had a problem with the Pong like we do, I'm pretty sure the manufacturers have long listened and put in some nice potpourri in there. I don't know.
Well, that's a great... I mean, I've always wanted to do something on like how manufacturers manufacture the aromas of the interiors, because they all smell different. And I mean, I think that if somebody had to come in here, blindfold us, and take us down to like 10 cars, I'm sure we'd be able to identify what cars they are just by smelling the cabin.
You're right. Very right.
And the Germans will smell like money, doesn't it? You're like, that smells like money.
The smell of success.
The smell of high maintenance fees when your motor plan expires.
I think that's definitely a good discussion or experiment for another show. Yeah.
I don't think we can do that. We are forced to wear masks, gentlemen.
That's true. So I can't really think of anything. I mean, I can tell you something that didn't excite me. That was that Renault Megane Sport, the trophy.
Yes, we sorted that.
Or the cup. Which one was it? The trophy or the cup?
Either way, we realize that you're getting older. Not just you, myself, I'm also getting older. I can't handle it.
I didn't find it exciting, I didn't find it fun, it beeped at me all the time because it had some electrical fault, and I don't know.
And it's so anonymous in the population of hot hatches, isn't it?
Anonymous, bad driving position, and it's got that four-wheel steer, which I just don't see the point of having in a hot hatch. Hot hatches shouldn't have four-wheel steer.
It is quite strange ergonomically now that you mention it.
Yeah.
McGann.
It's not comfortable.
Just never sit comfortable in that thing.
I struggled, and it never used to be like that, but this one is particularly bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, is that it for our June exams?
I think that's it.
Shall we do this again in December?
We should, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, let's do that.
If we can pass for matric now.
Yeah. I've got a bad report card, so
you start cramming.
I have to brush up.
Yes. Brennan got a 70, and you got...
I don't know. I probably got
just give him a condoned pass. Give him a condoned pass.
Yeah, 30%. Don't pass. It's all right. Come along.
I can still go to university.
We like you. Come through. Come through to the next level.
You guys are sweet. I like you, too. So that's it for the mid-year exams, and that's also it for the show, because we've enjoyed ourselves so much, and we've chatted so much, that Paige says... We don't have time for doing road test impressions. So...
Oh, that's okay.
I'll hang on to this one for the next one.
Yeah, definitely.
I haven't road tested anything anyway, so...
Yeah.
It's all right. Otherwise, I was going to speak about the Citroen again.
Oh, no, please. Then it's really like Groundhog Day. I can't stand it anymore. I want some difference in my life. So that's it, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Thomas. Thanks, Fuji.
Thanks for joining me in the studio, and that's a wrap from Cargumentative. We'll be back next week. See you then.